My name is Damian Lewis, and I'm a best-selling British author of military history, voted one of the nation's 20 favourite authors by World Book Day, and I'm also a very active supporter of Blind Veterans UK. Unseen Stories is the podcast of Blind Veterans UK, the charity which supports all those who served in the armed forces, including National Service veterans, and who are now living with significant sight loss. Blind Veterans UK was founded in 1915 to provide training, rehabilitation and lifelong support to those who had lost their sight in the First World War. Since then, we have continued to provide practical and emotional support to thousands of veterans, whether blinded while serving or having lost their sight in later years, to rebuild their lives. Founded as the Blinded Soldiers and Sailors Care Committee, we were known for most of our history as St Dunstan's. We changed name to Blind Veterans UK in 2012 to better explain who we are and what we do. The recordings showcased in Unseen Stories include interviews taken from our archives, many of which are with blind veterans who are now deceased. There are also new interviews with our current veterans. Together, they form a wide-ranging and compelling record of different kinds of military experiences, of loss of sight and adjustment to life and new experiences as a blind person, and have been part of Blind Veterans UK.
Ron Cross. This interview was conducted in 2019 by our friends at the Commonwealth War Graves Commission for their Voices of Liberation, Preserving Our Memories of the Second World War podcast, and is included in Unseen Stories with their permission. Ron served with the Royal Engineers during the Second World War and was one of the first soldiers to land on the beaches in the D-Day landings. In this interview, Ron talks about preparing for D-Day, the experience of taking part in it, and reflects upon those who were lost in the war. Ron joined Blind Veterans UK in 2013, having lost his sight as a result of age-related macular degeneration.
In 43, my unit was changed to join the 79th Armoured Division to make gaps in the sea defences so that tanks could get ashore early in the action. And so we were equipped with Churchill tanks, which were specially adapted, and they carried bridges and various other pieces of equipment to enable them to fill gaps and get tanks ashore early in the action on D-Day. That was our role for the invasion. The trip over was terrible. The flat-bottom ships did not like rough seas, and we thought the ship was going to turn over. So it was frightening, actually, and nearly all the blokes were seasick. I wasn't, and so that worried me whether they were going to be fit enough to do the job we were trained to do when we got around to arrive. When we landed, we were lucky, actually, because a couple of the big guns on our beach had been put out of action. So all we were worried about was small arms fire and mortar. The infantry had already got ashore, and the job we had to do, my tank, was to fill an anti-tank ditch. And by 9 o'clock, we had opened a gap 16 foot wide to the first lateral road. When it was done, we had to put a windsock up, blue windsock, to tell the next wave that the gap was open and they could come in and land. We had no casualties. We had a few prisoners. And by midday, we had cleared the beach of all the obstacles that the Germans had put there. And everything went well. So we were lucky on our beach. Other beaches weren't quite so lucky. Our biggest thought was the job we had to do. We were not concerned about the opposition we're going to do. And being in a tank, that was the only thing we were afraid of, was big guns. And they'd been put out of action. But we were very lucky. Part of our troop who landed on the other side of the river weren't so lucky. They lost a tank, and the tank is still on a plinth on the beach. That tank went down in an anti-tank ditch. The Germans had flooded the area where they landed, and they couldn't see it. And the tank went in right up to the turret, and three of the chaps were killed and two badly wounded. And when it was all over, we were told the expected loss was going to be 75%. It was nowhere near that. Some of the other units, there were several units like us, they did get some losses, but it was never up to 75% as they expected. Hobart's Funnies, that was what we were called. And General Hobart, in the First World War, he was a Royal Engineer. In the Second World War, he transferred to the tank regiments, and he was in North Africa. He was a desert rat, but because of his outlandish behaviour and his outspokenness, he upset the generals, and they gave him a sack, and he became a lance corporal in the Home Guard in Devon. But when Churchill decided for the invasion that the 79th Armoured Div was going to be formed, they thought, Hobart, he's the right bloke. It needed someone with a bit of outlandish ideas. The American beaches were a lot harder than the beaches we landed on. That I thought they had a difficult job. They were really brave blokes. I was glad they were on my side. We had far harder battles later in Normandy. It was a war we had to win because they were evil. I think we'd have been harder on the Germans if we'd have known what they were doing. They were doing some evil things. We eventually won, so God was on our side, I think. After we landed at D-Day, we supported the infantry trying to take Caen. They bombed Caen flat. Beautiful city. They destroyed it, the RAF. That was the night before all the tanks advanced across cornfields, and many of them, Shermans, got knocked out. The Germans called them Tommy Cookers. It was a failure. They bombed Caen, and the Germans weren't in Caen. They were outside. So that was a mistake. That's where I lost the first chap in my tank, Roy Milner. He was the youngest chap. It could have been me. We rounded up some Germans. He was with me. And one of the Germans had a bad wound in the stomach. He ceased to be an enemy. He was a chap who needed medical attention. And I saw a field ambulance 50 yards away. And I said, I'm going to get that ambulance to see if he'll pick this German up. And they said, sorry, we got too many of our own chaps to pick up. Here, stick this in him. Gave me an hypodermic syringe. And as he gave it to me, a shell landed. And I said, oh, my God, there's my chap. One of my chaps is there. So the ambulance came, and Roy lay on the ground with shrapnel wounds in his back. He was still alive. And I patted him on the back. I said, you'll be in England tomorrow, mate. And sadly, he died. He died on the ambulance going to the field hospital. And I thought, if I'd have said to Roy, go and get that ambulance, it could have been me. And he is buried in Ranville Cemetery. And I have been to his grave many times. Also, I've been to Bayeux Cemetery, where there's, I know, three of our chaps who died on D-Day are buried. They're in one row. It was sad when you lose anyone, but I think we all thought, well, we've got to do this, and if we get killed, well, you can't fight a war without losing some. And so, you know, we thought we're lucky if we got away with it. Ranville Cemetery, beautiful. And so is Bayeux Cemetery, beautiful. And there's all those graves, and you think, these chaps have given their life for our safety now. I don't know how my unit felt when the war ended, but we were lucky being down in Kanaka. It was like being on a holiday, actually. I suddenly came out of living in ditches and that, in a hotel, sitting at a table, having knife and fork, washing and shaving in a bathroom. That was an amazing thing for me.
Thank you for listening to Unseen Stories. New recordings are added every month. If you would like to support our ongoing work in helping today's blind veterans, lead independent and fulfilling lives, there are a number of ways you can help. These include donating to us, taking part in an event or challenge to help raise funds, and volunteering with us. If you are yourself a blind veteran who is not already being supported by us, or you know somebody who might need our help, we would also be delighted to hear from you. Much more information and details of how to contact us can be found on our website, www.blindveterans.org.uk.